Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is presented by Betano. The game starts now. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. And apparently we have a new guest. And that's a barking dog, I'm going to guess, is Yorkies.
Perfect timing. My wife just coming in. Okay, my dog is a golden doodle. But if anybody ever came up to the house, they'd think it's a ferocious watchdog until they get into the house and they try to rob the place and my dog just licks them to death. So you guys, ferocious golden doodle. But that's right, well, if you live in Westboro, it's like you have to have a golden doodle and it has to have a sweater and it has to have boots.
It's in the contract.
Do you put the boots on your dog?
I'm going to take the fifth on that one. I'm going to take the fifth.
I want pictures of you putting booties on the dog. By the way, the dog is welcome anytime on the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Brent Wallace. As always, coming in hot, brought to you by Betano.ca. The game starts now. Okay, boys, without further ado, because I'm not wasting valuable time talking about pets, we'll bring in Ian Mendez of The Athletic. Who also does a very good podcast, I might add. But Mr. Mendez, welcome to the show, sir.
But Bobby's a cat guy, so I know that that wasn't his animal in the background.
I'm not a cat guy. I just got stuck with two.
Yeah.
Bobby, okay. What were the names of your cats?
Prince and Pelly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
are you serious?
You're getting one chance to get this out of your system.
you had cats. You're serious? Come on, is this true?
Yeah. We had a couple cats.
Oh
yeah.
God, Bobby had to buy an RV to move these cats across the country.
What? It was either that or charter because their breed doesn't fly well. I don't know, man. It was a whole thing. I don't know.
Oh man,
this is not in any of the five pages I printed off today. Say, by the way,
we're off the rails. Yeah. We're off the rails already.
we barely even said hi to Ian. Ian, what's going on, my friend? Were you at the rink today?
No, they very wisely opted to just jump on a plane and go right to Arizona. Yeah, so there was no availability, no practice today after the game against Nashville last night.
Let's just delve into this game, shall we, gentlemen? I'm going to start with Ian.
Yeah.
Can you explain how they go from, 4-1-1 over a six-game stretch to now having lost these two fairly convincingly, if you ask me, to a 4-5-1 in their last 10. Hold on a sec. We knew that they weren't going to be a strong hockey team every game and that they've had their moments. So is this just a moment like usual for the Ottawa Senators, or did we invest too much over a little bit of stretch and now we've been let down?
No, I don't think so. And I think if you think about it, coming into the year, I think a lot of people thought Ottawa could be around 85 points, right? Like we thought, okay, if they get to 85 points, maybe 90 points, successful season, meaningful games. Well, let's just back this up for a second. If you're going to get to 85 points, you're essentially a 500 team. What does that mean? You're going to win three, you're going to lose three. You're going to win five, you're going to lose five. This is what they are. And welcome to the mushy middle, Ottawa. This is what life in the middle looks like. And the good news is you're no longer languishing at the bottom of the standings, hanging with Arizona and Columbus and Chicago. You're out of that, right? You're out of the, are they going to get Connor Bedard sweepstakes? And I think that's a good thing. But when you graduate to the next level, what I think we've forgotten is it comes with a lot of hair pulling and just, you're like, oh my gosh, this is really frustrating, because 85 points means you're going to win half the games, you're going to lose half the games. So that's essentially what this team has done at the halfway point of the season.
Nobody appreciates your voice of reason. Okay. I want the sky is falling. Hey, Bobby, how do you assess get
in
last
here,
night?
Yeah, no, you got to get in here and mess things up a little bit, Ian. I do agree with Ian. You guys remember when everybody started talking about the playoff push in the middle of the summer, I was like, hold your horses here. This is not a playoff team. This is a 500 team at best. I actually thought they played well last night. Gave up way too many odd man rushes for one, but other than that, like, UC Saros was good. They did create chances, but you know, an outrageous turnover and then guys running into each other, trying to get back, you know, kind of set the tone for the game in the first period. But that's what this team is. They're going to go on a little bit of a run. They got a 3-game road trip now where I think 500 hockey is going to be a good thing. You should beat Arizona. You're going to get whacked in Colorado and then try to get a point out of St. Louis. That's just, it's a 500 team.
Yeah. Ian, you're like the nice version of Dennis Green there. The old Chicago Bears coach that said, they are who we thought they were. Remember that rant when he just went on and on?
He was coaching Arizona against Chicago, and that's the Bears are who we thought they were. Yeah.
The Sens are who Mendez thought they were. And I agree with both of you guys. I hate agreeing because it makes for boring podcasts, but it is true. The Sens, I didn't think they were a playoff team when they came into the year. Number one, talk about the blue line, young team. But Bobby, you said, I thought Ottawa was good. And I taped the game and I came back and watched it later last night. So I got a chance to, when you rewatch a game, you stop the play and you look at the goals. I thought Ottawa could have been up 2-0 early in that game. UC Saros made a bunch of huge saves. Ottawa came out ready to play, and then all of a sudden they get two, and it wasn't that you're getting outplayed. It's bad turnover by Brännström, a little bit of confusion in the D zone, and you're down 2-0. You get down 2-0 in Nashville, and the way Saros is playing, not too many teams are winning. So it is. It's like Mendez said, the Sens are who we thought they were. They're not going to go run the table all year. They're not good enough. They've got some nice pieces. Yep. They're a young, exciting team. They're very good on the wings. But this is how it's going to be. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, and they're probably going to finish just right outside of the playoffs. So they'll be out of that Connor Bedard sweepstakes or whatever you want to call it. But hey, it is a good thing, because this team, to me, is making progress.
We'll get to Bedard in a second. Stop getting ahead of the notes. Or affectionately known as the Nerd Report by Bobby. So I renamed it today. Officially, it's now known as the Nerd Report.
I saw that. Well done.
Yeah, I figured you'd appreciate that. Okay, here's what I don't get, and I'm going to go back to Mendez being our guest, is that the Ottawa Senators have, the fifth best power play and the sixth best penalty killing in the league. And you always say you want it to add up to 100. Well, it adds up to 100.1%. So, Ian, how are they just a 500 team when they're doing so well special teams? And I'll go back to, it's probably 5-on-5 play. But in the last seven games, they're 20-for-20 on the penalty kill. Like, they're doing everything defensively well, except when they've got five guys on the ice. You tell me what's going on.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. They're not playing well 5-on-5. I don't have the numbers right in front of me in terms of the 5-on-5. But the game against Seattle,
I will tell you what they are. They're
great illustration.
They're tied with Anaheim. They're tied with Anaheim for 29th overall in 5-on-5 goals.
5-on-5 goals, yeah, exactly. And so you look at the game against Seattle. Seattle, I believe, is the number one scoring team in the NHL at even strength. And they scored 8 even strength goals against Ottawa. So it's not like the Senators got caved in on the power play or penalty kill. And that's what's frustrating. And you look at the Kraken, and I think if you said to just an average fan, which roster would you rather have, Seattle or Ottawa's? We're all taking Ottawa's, aren't we? And I don't think we're even saying that through the lens of being Ottawa-specific people, but I think we would take that. And the remarkable thing is the Kraken are shooting at about 10.5% at even strength, which is really good, okay? Ottawa is, I think, 30th in the league in shooting percentage at even strength at about 6%. And that's the answer right there. Like, Ottawa's inability to score at 5-on-5 has come back to bite them. And on nights like Monday, when the power play goes dry, I think they were 0-for-5, right, last night against Nashville. Yep. They just don't have it going on. And remember, though, one thing I'll point out a little bit in their defense, they are missing three guys that were slated to be in their top nine in Norris, Joseph, and Tyler Motte. And I think what's happened is the bottom six is just not generating any offense at this stage of the game.
Yeah. So I'll tell you why these guys aren't a good 5-on-5 team. And you watched the game last night, and I'll tell you why a team like Nashville is better 5-on-5 than Ottawa. And DJ Smith said it after the game. He kind of snuck in this little point, and I sent you guys the clips earlier today. He goes, that Nashville blue line, that's a real blue line. And if you look at Ottawa's defense right now, and with the exception of Thomas Chabot, who is their number one guy, Artem Zub, and Jake Sanderson, if you took the rest of that decor, they probably wouldn't dress every single night for most teams in the National Hockey League, at least most good teams. If you took Brännström and you took Hamonic, you took Zaitsev, and you took Nick Holden, all those guys are 6-7s, maybe out of the lineup on most teams. So I don't care how good your forwards are. If your D don't have the ability to get the puck in their hands and not make crucial turnovers, like we consistently see with Otto, we saw it last game. You see Brännström. I know Hamonic didn't make any blunders, but he continually turns the puck over because, not that he's a terrible player, but because he's playing in the lineup where he shouldn't be. He should be a third pairing guy, not playing 20 minutes a night, where you look on the other side, you got Matthias Ekholm, you got their captain there. I don't know Ryan McDonough.
You look at
those three defensemen, and then you throw in the goaltender. It's not even a contest. It's not even a contest. So to me, why are they not good at 5-on-5? Because everything starts in your own zone with that first pass. It does. Ask Bobby. Yes. Bobby, how many games are you sitting there? And if you don't get the puck on time, you don't get it in a place where you can get transit. It doesn't matter. And Ottawa, too. Yeah. All their strength is on the wings. Stützle's coming. But after Stützle, there is a huge drop-off, and we're watching Pinto right now. He's going through those rookie blues you're going to have because the hardest thing in this league is to be consistent every single night. So is Ottawa really going to be a consistent team when it's Stützle and then the rest? Like, come on. Like, I know Norris is out, but that's why they're inconsistent, guys. They're young, and their defense isn't that good.
Yeah. I'll just wrap up on that. I think I agree with everything both of you just said. You cannot score goals if you can't get out of your own zone cleanly. And the amount of times last night I watched, you know, exceptionally the D that you mentioned, just put that puck on the wall and rim it around and just try to get themselves out of trouble. You can't do that because you're putting a lot of pressure on the winger who's going to get pinched, who's got a forward coming underneath. There's essentially no transition game unless Sanderson, Zub, or Chabot are out there. So any little breakdown in the middle of the ice where you want to go the other way, those guys are pulling it back because they're not thinking about looking up ice right away. They're thinking about, where's my D partner? How do I get this thing out of my hands and get it across the ice the other way? They got the speed wobble. I know that speed wobble. I've been there. I know
that. I got to get to some reads or I'll never get them in the show with you for three. Is
speed wall.
As always, this show brought to you by Betano.ca. Go to Betano.ca or download the app Get in with all the action. The game starts now with Betano, 100% welcome bonus up to $500. Live betting, online casino. It's all there for you to enjoy. All right. And finally, as always, Renfrew Pro. Go to renfrewpro.com and start to set up your order for hockey tape. The Pro Blade cloth tapes are specifically designed for today's composite hockey sticks. They use quality polyester cut material with an advanced adhesive formulation to give you long-lasting play, available in a variety of colors and patterns at your local retailers, including Canadian Tire, Pro Hockey Life, Sport Check, and always use white because it's the only color you should have on your stick. I don't care about people that use black tape. I think it's wrong.
Agreed.
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 Bobby, hey. Bobby was you were confused, though. You would wrap with white tape, and then you take a puck or whatever and mark it all up like it's black.
That was only to hide the puck a little bit when you were shooting, but I still believe white tape's the way to go. And on top of that, I taped my stick differently. I went toe to heel, so that kind of just kept the tape on longer.
Nice.
So, all right, since we're on this topic, which I know Mendes is thrilled about, why would you go toe to heel?
It was just the way I learned. I have no idea. I never transitioned. I always started with the toe. Yeah, I wrap, and I was a wrapper, so I wrapped the toe and then went down.
All right, fair enough.
No rhyme. No rhyme or reason. No rhyme.
Okay, I won't delve into this any further. But I will delve into one particular defenseman to go back to the D topic, Erik Brännström. I don't like to pick on players. I don't think it's fair. I think if you're in the National Hockey League, you probably have earned your way there. However, Mendes, he doesn't look very good. And he's got 3 assists in 35 games. He played 12-13 last night, which was his lowest in the last 22 games. What do we make of Erik Brännström? He seems to be the one guy that generates lots of talk because we see perhaps potential. We don't see it consistently.
Yeah, and I think he got stapled to the bench there for a few minutes after that that turnover that kind of led to the opening goal. And look, if you want to know, one thing I'll say about DJ Smith, I think he does a pretty good job of when he gets on the podium, he very rarely will publicly criticize his players, right? He very rarely calls them out by name. But all you need to do is go to NHL.com or look at the ice time, and that's the coach's true feeling on a player. And when you're at 12 minutes a night, for a defenseman, that means that they don't trust you or the coach doesn't trust you. And it's an interesting conversation because I think we came into this year saying, okay, Brännström signed the 1-year deal. It was like a kind of a prove it deal. I don't know if we're any further along in kind of knowing where he's at as a player. He's kind of been supplanted even on the second unit power play by Jake Sanderson. It's hard to envision a scenario where Eric can get the offensive touches now that Shabbat and Sanderson are the guys on the left side. So you need to ask yourself moving forward, going into next year, are you comfortable with Erik Brännström coming back on a third pairing in this role? Because I don't see any scenario where he cracks the top four anymore. I think that ship has sailed in Ottawa. And I don't know, does he require a new coach, a new change of scenery to kind of maybe get that fresh start? It just, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to be working here. I always like the player, though. I feel like he's got a dynamic element to his game. I really do. I like all the things that he does. In fact, you got to remember, he kills penalties for them. So as much as you'll hear people say, oh, he can't defend, he does kill penalties for them. He's often out there in shorthanded situations. But I don't know. It feels like this coaching staff doesn't quite have the trust or faith in him to kind of get the job done.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Ian. DJ does not trust Erik Brännström to defend. He's not his kind of player. You're going to be a bottom pairing defenseman in the league, you need to play like Hamonic. Hamonic's a bottom pairing defenseman. He kills penalties. He leans on guys. He gets the puck out by shooting it up the boards. You know what you get. But Brännström, he needs to get traded. If he's going to have a pretty good career in this league, which is 6 or 7 years, it's not going to happen in Ottawa. His bread and butter is power play, moving the puck, join the office. People are wondering why he doesn't have points. He doesn't play the power play. So as a defenseman, you are not getting any points, at least meaningful points, if you're not on one of the power play units. And that's what he does. So that's what he was drafted for. That's why he went so high. if it's going to happen, it's going to happen somewhere else, because he's not getting on there before Shabbat. He's not getting on there before Sanderson. So it's, to me, he's a guy I would have tried to trade him earlier because he was playing really well. Now, unfortunately, I think his value is going down a little bit. But I don't see a future here in Ottawa. And not that I don't think he's a good player. I just think, like you said, Ian, just point, he's miscast. He needs to go somewhere where they need a puck moving defenseman who can play as their four in time and be on one of the power plays. Otherwise, he's going to be a tweener that probably ends up in Europe in about 2 years.
Yeah. Again, I'll wrap up, but, I thought he played excellent early this year. I really liked his game. I don't know. I wouldn't put a number on it, but maybe, you know, through the first 10, looking like he had made a big giant leap forward for me anyway. But it is tough because this is like, this is Pierre Dorion's like third proudest day as GM when he made that trade. So, it's tough for, it's tough to see this happen to him. But I played with him for a very short period of time. I was like, this guy makes good, hard passes.
Yeah.
He sees lanes that guys don't see. But I agree. When you have two like Sanderson and Chabby, there's no room for another offensive defenseman because your 5-6 have to play a certain way. So I don't think he's a guy that they, you know, that you have here in the future.
And Bobby, you know, as a player, when the coach doesn't trust you, you know, when they don't have confidence in you, and it affects you as a player mentally, because you start doing things. You're not playing with a clear head, and you're not playing with that confidence where you're not worried to make plays. It's like, man, if I screw up again, I'm going to get benched again. Where when you're going, like a Sanderson, for example, if Sanderson makes a big mistake, he's going to go back out there. If Brännström does, well, we saw what happens. He turns it over. He's not playing. So it is what it is. So, but I agree about it. I liked him early too. I thought he was really good. But again, you're like, why doesn't he have any points? Well, he's not on the power play. Like, it's not rocket science. Yeah.
Nope. Couldn't agree more.
All right. So when it comes to your bottom two D, and I'm going to start with Ian again. Who takes that spot? Is it time for JBD to come up and to take that role, or is it Lassie Thompson? Who is it that's supposed to be in there that they should just now move towards for the future? Or are none of them ready to play in that spot? And that's not a shot at JBD. I just don't know that he's ready to assume a full-time NHL role.
You know what? I'd love to see Jacob up here. And you know what I'd actually love to see? I'd like to see JBD with either Shabbat or Sanderson. In fact, I've always thought Zubin Sanderson might be a great combination, because I think there's a potential to unlock some more offense in Sanderson, and I think Zub would be the guy to maybe do that. To me, Thomas Shabbat and JVD could work together. But yeah, I think JVD, in the last couple of times he's been up, shows me that he is, I think, ready to play at this level. Now, the problem is, if you take Brännström out and put JVD in, that doesn't necessarily solve everything, right? Because JBD is a right shot guy. Brännström plays on the left. So you're still kind of in a tough spot there on your third pairing. And remember, going into next year, Brännström needs a new contract. Hamonic needs a new contract. Holden needs a new contract. Bernard Docker needs a new contract. Like, look, they're going to go into the offseason with a fairly blank canvas. And I think that's a good thing on the back end. Now, We can discuss when you call the JBDs and the Thompsons up and have them play. I would have Bernard Docker up right now to play games because I think he's in the organization right now. I believe he's one of their best six defensemen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what you – to me, like I said earlier, your five and your six have to play a certain way. And, you know, no disrespect to these two guys. They're NHL players, but – that's not it. That's not what your five and six are supposed to look like. You're supposed to be guys that you can go out that can play hard and give other teams fits down low and wear on guys and things like that. And, you know, those two guys just aren't going to do that. I would agree that JBD, I like him every time he's up, to be honest with you. When he did play, I think he played with Chabby a little bit. And I remember Meth making a comment when I was watching the game about how much it freed Chabby up to have him back there. So I could see that combination, but we're going to get to a point where these guys are out, and then you're going to see Thompson and JBD in the lineup every night. And when that is, who knows? But it, for me, it should be sooner rather than later at this point.
Yeah, I when I was young as a defenseman, I spent 3 years in the minors, and it did me a world of good. When I watch Docker play, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, he can survive here right now. But when he gets the puck, he's just, I know it's a good thing when you don't, when you want to move it quick, but I just find he's not playing with that calmness you really need to be effective at this level. And you can only get that by playing a ton. I'd like to see him play a ton in Belleville. And then to Bobby's point around the trade deadline, when you know where you're at, bring him up for the rest of the year and play the shit out of him and see what you got from him. I like him. I think he's got leadership abilities. I think he's going to be a good, I don't see him as a top pairing guy. I see him maybe as a four, but a good four, like a guy that's eventually going to play hard on you. He's going to move the puck, but that just doesn't happen overnight. Like the problem is we think because what Sanderson's doing, everybody can do that. No, that doesn't happen. Guys need time. They need to play in the minors. But I would personally like to see a veteran defenseman be signed, probably to a top four. If this team is serious about winning, they have to go out and spend some money on a really good defenseman to either play with Shabbat or play with Sanderson, and then go out and sign a low priced veteran to play with Bernhard Docker and help him come along. And then you have a real, unit of defensemen here. Right now it's patchwork, and I don't want to crap on guys, but it is the truth. Yeah. It is the truth. You got a couple guys picked up on waivers, and if they're serious about winning, they have to do those things. So I know people want to spend money and sign DeBrincat, and I think he's a great player, and I'm not that I want to beat this dead horse again, but I really think
but I'm going to.
I really think they need to spend that money on their blue line. I really do. If they are serious about winning, because not only is it going to help you, it's going to help guys like Docker, it's going to help Shabbat, and it's going to help the team.
Seems like a good time to say happy birthday to Tyler Cleven, who turns 21 today. He may be someone we see very soon. He's having a very strong year. But again, like in Yorkie, you know this better than anybody. It's tough to come and step into the NHL right away. Do we see Tyler Cleven play next year, or is there a better chance we see him in Belleville?
I haven't watched him enough, Wally, so it'd be unfair for me to comment on him. I would think he'll need time. I've heard he's a good player, but for me to go on and evaluate him, I've got no idea. I need to see the kid play, and all I can tell you is, it's not that it's Captain Obvious. It's a big difference playing college or the NHL, so it's we'll have to wait and
fair
see.
Fair enough.
You know what?
Though? I had to Google him right now, so I have no idea who that is. I gotta start the table. I gotta up my game.
Clearly, the nerd report is not enough information for you.
I had a chance. Yeah. Listen, I went to North Dakota last year. I watched Tyler Cleven play a little bit when I went to go do a feature on Jake Sanderson. This kid is like, you know what? He's a throwback to an era. If you think about what defense, like think of the Scott Stevens and the guy, like they would just come across, step up, and deliver thunderous hits. That's Tyler Cleven. They call him the K-Train. And, you know, this guy, he's really, really physical. I think he's going to need at least 1 year in the AHL, because he's like, one thing his coach, Brad Berry in North Dakota told me was, like, you know, they're trying to get Tyler to learn how to pick his spots. And, you know, like you got to talk about, like NCAA, it's one thing. You can't just come into the NHL and just start going after guys like you're a heat-seeking missile. Like, you really have to pick your spot. So I think there's going to be a time where he needs to kind of just grow into the professional game. I would imagine, my best guess tells me that's about an 18-month process. Like, I don't, you know, maybe you give him a game or two next year or whatever. But I think he's probably 2 years away. But I think they really like the physical aspect of him. Like, I think if you go back, remember when Trent Mann spoke to the media after they drafted Tyler Boucher, his feeling was, we want to be a team that you don't ever want to see in the playoffs. And the irony is, what are we all talking about right now? We're like, Senators are the team you'd like to face right now, because they're not doing some of these things that, you know, like paying the price physically or whatever. But I think if you look at their DNA, I think Tyler Cleven projects out as a guy that, you know, he's a second round pick. I think he projects out as a guy that they see potentially playing games in the NHL for them.
I agree with you. All right, we'll move on because I don't have it all day with you, Mendez. I know you're busy and you probably got to make dinner and stuff. next
it's
up,
3:30. I don't. I'm not 80 years old yet. Eating dinner at 4 p.m.
The early bird. You don't eat at 5:30 like me. Oh
no.
All right. By the way, Mendez, I'm going to bring. I'll just bring this up now. You used to post pictures when you would go on trips of how you'd make all these meals for your family and leave them in the fridge. Well, my wife is away for 5 days now, and I'm on down to hot dogs and spaghetti at this point. Like, she didn't leave me anything.
You're just knocking on doors for casseroles, eh?
I'm like, what coupon do we have? Is it Subway?
That's it. Well, we got
you did me no favors.
Montana's.
we will get to Montana's in one sec. All right, so I know we probably can't talk tank, but we're going to talk about Connor Bedard. I did the tankathon thing today to find out, just to see. The very first time I took the spin, Ottawa picked second, so I'm hoping that may be the case. So I'm going to ask you, which of these five teams you think deserves to get, and I can't believe there's not going to be any discussion over who goes number one. So of the five teams who right now are slated to have the best chance at the odds, Chicago, Columbus, Anaheim, San Jose, Arizona, Ottawa, by the way, is in ninth place at 5%. Which one deserves to get Connor Bedard? Ian?
Boy, you know, I look at this and very quickly I say Chicago's got three Stanley Cups in very recent years. I don't think deserve is a word I would use with them. Columbus got Johnny Hockey. Anaheim has Trevor Zegras. I think San Jose had a very competitive window for a long time. I'll tell you what, it's the team in the franchise that has the reputation of being a punching bag, low-hanging fruit, and a laughing stock for all of us. It's the Arizona Coyotes. We should all want to – and just hear me out on this. Okay. Just play this out. Connor Bedard ends up in Arizona this year. Does that make it a little more likely that a certain homegrown guy, when he's a free agent, might want to return to Arizona and play with Connor Bedard, that being Austin Matthews?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, I'm just playing out the
but they'll
the
be
long
in a
game here.
They'll be at a community rink by then.
Yeah, they'll be at the ice then. I was gonna go with Arizona too, just because all the guys there have had a whale of a couple years. Like, give the guys a break and send them Bedard, get them a rink in wherever they're going, Tempe, because that's already an attractive place to play. The guys would go there, and then you throw Bedard in there. You're going to have guys in free agency lining up at your door pretty quickly. So if they can make the money work, that franchise would turn around in a heartbeat, I think.
Arizona. So, Bobby, who'd you go with? You Arizona?
Arizona. Too? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would love to see it.
Okay, so you mentioned Chicago's got cups. Anaheim's got cups. I'm going to go with the Sharkies. San Jose has been so close so many times. And I remember going into that Shark Tank there. That rink used to be buzzing. People, that was a tough building to play in. It seems like a little bit of the luster and the wind has come out of the sails in San Jose, because that was an awesome, remember going there, guys? That was an awesome hockey market. I think they need a little bit of adrenaline boost there. They need a little shot in the arm in San Jose. So Bedard would be perfect. Maybe he can get them over the hump. They're rebuilding. Hockey used to be great there. It can be great again. So San Jose Sharks.
You think Bedard needs a little time in the minors to marinate?
I don't think so. He's
one of those ready-made dinners that I've been eating the last five nights because I'm on a diet. It's the meals on wheels, whatever you call it.
If he goes to Arizona, it'd be like playing in the minors. So I don't believe Arizona deserves to get Connor Bedard because of the way they've run their franchise. Why are they getting rewarded for being a horribly run organization?
Because that's how pro sports works. You reward teams with good draft picks.
There you go.
I don't want to see it.
Well, who are you picking? Yeah.
I just want to.
Who's your?
So
yeah,
I would like to see him. Like, in Chicago is another one of those. They've done a horrible job over the last decade of running a franchise, if you will, because of all the off ice stuff. I'd like them in an original six market because I think that's great for hockey. But since I just can't talk out of both sides of my mouth and say you can't have Arizona with Chicago, I think Anaheim would be awesome if you had Trevor Zegras and Mason McTavish and Troy Terry and Connor Bedard. It'd be fun to watch for a few years. Then they couldn't afford to pay them all, but that would be a hell of an organization to watch. Like, that would
I do agree with that.
Yeah, Anaheim's a great spot. It's a great spot.
Yeah.
But they've won. They've already got their cup. It's San Jose, man. San Jose. They're starting to drift. I think they need a little shot there. He's perfect.
Well, let's see. Hopefully, Ottawa can win it. Wouldn't that be great?
We just ran
the draft simulator.
Is Bizarre
Ottawa
got 10th. Bedard, guys, is he more of a winger than a center? What do you guys think?
Yeah, you know, I saw that whole debate going during the World Juniors, right? And people think it's kind of not unlike the Tim Stützle debate where what's he going to be?
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people, a lot of experts saying, no, he's going to be a winger in the National Hockey League. So, but look, I've learned from watching the Patrick Kanes and the Mitch Marners and, you know, whoever else, you can really impact the game as a winger today. You don't have to necessarily just be a center to be dominant, you know?
Yeah. I'm just thinking Ottawa's already got so many good wingers. Last thing they need is another star.
Oh, Yorkie. You can't help yourself, Yorkie, eh? Yorkie just can't help himself.
There's enough. It's like, get some D. They don't need any more. They got enough guys that can score.
Yeah.
But before we let Mendez go, you talked about Bedard being a winger, but what if he fills out more? What if he grows a few more inches and fills out and becomes a bigger dominant player? It becomes the Tim Stützle effect, right? Where everybody said, move him to center because he's not as good as the wing. And they moved him to center and he's a pretty good center. Like, what if we just let him play for a couple years as a winger and then move him over?
Yeah. I mean, you could do that, but I don't know. For me, I don't know what he projects as. I don't know him well enough other than all the points you see him put up. But what I do think is that your best players need to touch the puck through the middle of the ice. So I really was big on Stützle playing center right out of the gate, and I would probably say the same with Bedard. You want that guy getting the puck with three or four strides of speed already. Because those guys can change the game and then hold guys accountable. You know, everybody's going to be sucked in, and then you can kick it out, and you got guys on the flank. So that's just my two cents. I don't know. Ask Arizona when they get them.
Okay. All right.
Mendez, would you move him to center?
Bueller?
Huh? Mendez isn't listening to us.
No, what do you mean? All of you spoke at the same time. And all
we're waiting for you.
Bueller?
Would you move him to center?
Would I move Connor Bedard to center?
Yeah.
That's the question you're asking? Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, I think he can be dominant as a winger. I just think, like, when you listen to people speak, and these are people that know a lot more about prospects than I ever would, they're saying he is in that lineage of, you know, when Gretzky to Lemieux to Lindros, to Crosby, to McDavid, they're like, that's him. He's going to be that good. And so I don't think it really matters. Like, all those guys happen to be centers, but I think when we're talking about what he's going to bring to the table, he's going to be better than even like the Stamkoses and the Tavareses and Jack Hughes and other guys that have been taken first overall. He's going to be better than them is what the feeling is. So I think you just let him play wherever he's going to play. But if he's going to be in that mold, I suspect this, he'll end up being a centerman at some point.
It's a great debate. The forecasting of where guys are going to be. All we know for sure is he's going to be really good. He's going to be really good.
Yeah.
But is he going to be, I think it's dangerous. Like, is he going to be Mitch Marner? Is he going to be a generational player? That's a really tough label to put on a guy, a generational player. Well, just look at the first overall pick, Lafreniere. Like, he's struggling so far. It's so tough. One thing though, Ian did say that when he mentioned all those players are center icemen. And if he is going to be in that conversation, you win Stanley Cups down the middle with good center icemen. I know it's different now. F1, F2, F3, when the puck drops, first guy back in the zone plays down low anyhow. But you still, the way to win in this league is to be dominant at the center ice position. So I think he ends up playing center. If he's that good, to Bobby's point, you want him with the puck in his hands early because generational players make everybody around them better. It is much harder for a winger to make players around him better versus a center iceman. So I if he's going to be that good, he's going to be a centerman.
Ian, I know like 10 minutes. So do you think we can get through the 3 picks I have for midseason awards, or do you need to go?
Yeah. No, let's do it.
Okay. All right, we'll make this quick. But first, I'd like to talk about a few of our sponsors. So, by the way, BEI is always a big sponsor of our show. Go to BonisherExcavating.com. They are the leaders of civil engineering in the Ottawa Valley, also for aggregate needs. Check them out or give them a call. 613-432-1120, BonisherExcavating.com. BEI, helping you shape the Ottawa Valley and...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We'll do Montana's because every time you guys talk about food, I get hungry and I think of Montana's. Go to Montana's today. Tomorrow, by the way, all you can eat ribs. That's on Wednesday, which is one of my favorites. They always have drink specials on every day. Check them out, montanas.ca. Also, there is, I think, 5 locations in Ottawa and 51 locations in Ontario. Montanas, they are brewing up a storm. And they do pretty good steaks, too, by the way. They will cook them the way Bobby likes them, which is wrong.
There you go.
Okay. Here, we are at the midway point, arguably, of the season. Some teams, not others. League MVP, I want to know... everybody wants to always pick about the goal scorer who leads the league in points. But so Connor McDavid, David Pastrnak, I'm going to give you 5 choices. You can go off the board, though, at any point you'd like to. Connor McDavid, David Pastrnak, Jason Robertson, Tage Thompson, Jack Hughes. Do we have this board, by the way, Alex? We spent all day at crafts and arts and crafts to make this, and we don't have it. The Hart Trophy, Ian Mendez, who would you pick?
I think we've gotten guilty in the last couple of years of overthinking this. This is Connor McDavid's award. Like, this guy is the best player in the game. Guys, he's on pace for 150 points this season. Those are numbers we haven't seen since the late 80s. Like, I know a lot of it, he's just popping on the power play. Maybe he's not as dominant five on five, whatever. You get 150 points in this league, you should freaking win the Hart Trophy, and there shouldn't be follow-up questions.
Like, that's what the Art Ross is for.
Yeah, but when you're
– they have the award.
Yeah, I know. But if he wins it by that much, I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here? This guy's the best player in the game, and we're – why even vote on this one, honestly? Just give the guy the awards.
Because the award is for the most valuable player to his team. Not the guy that can score the most points.
I mean, I don't understand. Where would the Oilers be without Connor McDavid?
Yeah. They have Leon Draisaitl. Right. But by the way, they're not even in the playoffs, I don't think, at the moment. So are they anywhere?
Yeah, they're the last wild card team right now. It's hard to agree or disagree with 150 points. I agree, but I'm taking Jason Robertson. That's my pick. I think he's the best player on Dallas, and I think Dallas is, you know, first in the Central. Actually, they get some other players playing well, but he's carrying that team.
He's been really good. He's been really good. You know, Leon Draisaitl leads the league in game-winning goals, which last time I checked are the most important kind of goals, aren't they, if you score the game winner? Where would Edmonton be without – and listen, I'm just trying to make an argument of why Connor McDavid shouldn't win the Hart. It's pretty tough. But Draisaitl's a pretty good wingman to have. And we've seen when Connor McDavid is out of the lineup, the Draisaitl can carry this team as well. He's done it before. And there's been times in the playoffs where he's arguably been their best player. So where would the Pittsburgh Penguins be without Sidney Crosby? I know he's not putting up the numbers that Connor McDavid's putting up right now, but you watch him play, he is still one of the best players in the game. He's great on draws. He's great in his own zone. And he is their unquestioned best player. So I'm going to vote for Sidney Crosby, fellas.
Okay.
Do I convince you?
Fair enough. I just wasted 20 minutes making this graphic for you to pick somebody else. Fair enough.
I'm picking David Pastrnak.
Yeah, I like that.
I think the way Boston has played, they are dominant. It's not even close, I don't think. They're dominating everywhere, and I just think David Pastrnak. I know the Bruins have a bunch. They got, obviously, Bergeron and Marchand and the load of talent they have, but that's why they always get overlooked. Anyway, David Pastrnak's my pick. Moving on.
So you're picking a guy that's not even their best player.
Moving on.
I think this year he is their best player.
Watched a game against Ottawa.
So we had one off game.
Too much. He had too much eggnog. It happens.
Somewhere else in the nog.
We're on to the Norris Trophy.
All right,
this is Yorkie's award. So the Norris Trophy candidates I have chosen: Cale Makar, Rasmus Dahlin, Erik Karlsson, Adam Fox, or Josh Morrissey from the Winnipeg Jets. Yorkie, the defense, I'll let you go first. We're on a time.
Okay. Usually I have a rule that says you have to be on a playoff team to win a major award, but I'm going to break that because I think Karlsson, he's on a different level again this year. He has the most even strength points of any defenseman in the league, and it's almost double to the next guy, which I think is Adam Fox. Karlsson's over 20. Fox is at 13. And it is really tough for D to score at even strength. He's doing stuff that other guys aren't doing. So I'm taking King Carl. I think he's back to doing Karlsson things, and that's my pick.
I agree.
Bobby.
You can skip me. I agree. Moving on.
Agree.
Okay.
Yep.
Ian, mix it up.
What are we doing here? It's got to be McDavid, right? No. Okay. No. No. I. You know what? Adam Fox. And I was looking this up earlier just to double check this. But, you know, Adam Fox right now, look, he's not putting up the numbers at Carlson's level. And what Eric is doing is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? Yeah. I was just double checking this. Yeah. Like, Fox has been on the ice for 64% of, like, when he's on the ice, the Rangers are scoring 64% of the goals. Like, he's been pretty dominant. Like, he's kind of doing it at both ends. I even like Morrissey, too, in Winnipeg. He's kind of unlocked a little bit of the offensive side. I actually think this is the best race all the major awards. Because I even think Cale Makar, like, I think we set the expectation so high for Makar. The guy's playing like 28 minutes a night for a banged up Avalanche team. Like, let's not forget, like, Makar's being asked to do some things that he's never been asked to do. Like, I'd love to revisit this one in 6 weeks from now. Darlene's having a great year in Buffalo. Yeah. But guys, if Carlson gets to 100 points, I mean, it will be tough to deny him for a Norris Trophy.
So it's a point trophy again. Okay, fair enough. I think it's my pick is for Josh Morrissey. I think he's done an exceptional job in Winnipeg. I like this offensive game that he's brought now, and I still think he does an exceptional job of being a shutdown guy. So I'm going to go with Josh.
He's got lots of points.
He's okay. So it's a point. It's an award for points. Is that what it is?
Well, you just
I said he's unlocked his offensive side.
Wasn't it?
Well, you just disrespected it.
People were voting for Mackenzie Weegar. I was like, what are we doing? no disrespect. Because okay. I've played against that guy. He's a nightmare to play against, but come on.
Yeah.
Hey, he's an Ottawa guy. We will vote for Mackenzie Weegar. Finally, Jack Adams. Yeah. Here we go. Jim Montgomery. We got to do this in a minute. Jim Montgomery, Dave Hakstol, Bruce Eddy, Lindy Ruff, Rod Brind'Amour. I will let you go off the board because I didn't put on Peter DeBoer. Okay, Mendez, I'll start with you.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because Bruce Cassidy and Jim Montgomery basically kind of, you know.
Yes.
There's a little job change there. And, you know, I think Rod Brind'Amour, it's almost like he becomes the Connor McDavid of coaching where he's done such a great job, but we're like, just leave him be. But I don't think anybody thought the Seattle Kraken were going to be doing what they're doing. And you know what? Here's why I like this pick of why I would go Dave Hakstol. Usually we always point at the Jack Adams winner and you can say, that guy's getting it because of great goaltending. Seattle's getting an 890 save percentage from their goalies this year, guys. It's something like 890. And, look at that. 874 from Grubauer, 888 from Martin Jones, and you're in a playoff spot. It's because they're playing so well 5-on-5. They're like, I think what Dave Hakstol has done is great. I would give him the award, and I don't know how there's another serious candidate there because the roster isn't as talented as what you're seeing out of Boston or Vegas.
Yeah, you got a minute left, and I agree that was my pick too. Actually, if you look at that roster, not many elite players. And for him to get them to all buy in to stay in games, that's my guy.
I'm going off the board, fellas. I'm going off the board. Rick Bowness.
How many guys have the sack to walk in the town, strip the C off the captain and say, we're going to do things my way and win?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a great team in Winnipeg, but I love what Bones did. You know what? He's older now, and he just doesn't give a you know what. He's like, we're gonna do it my way, and it's working. I love it. So many guys would be afraid to do what he did because if it doesn't work out, they're gonna blame you and you're gonna get fired. But I love it. Bonus is my pick. I know Montgomery's doing what he's doing. He's probably gonna win, but I just love what Bonus did, so I'm going with Bonus.
I think they've got too much talent on their roster for him to walk in and think he reinvented the game. That's just my argument with Rick Bowness. I'm going to go with I think Dave Hakstol should be the guy that gets considered, although Jim Montgomery, because of the season he's had and back behind the bench, will likely win the award. But I'm with you guys. I think Dave Hextall, with a roster of, I hate to say nobodies, but nobodies, to try and turn that around into a playoff team is pretty remarkable. All right, Mendez, you got to go. So we appreciate you, my friend. Take
all right,
care.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Go make dinner.
There goes Ian Mendez from The Athletic. Read all his stuff. It's been phenomenal this year. Ian has done a hell of a job of writing articles. I meant to talk to him about the Alex DeBrincat story in the ginger ale, but I'll have to have him on again. I really like the way he's covered the Ottawa Senators this year. But anyway, thanks again to Ian Mendez. Boys, one last thing for us to cover, and that's Yorkie's favorite part of the show, which, so it's the only way I keep him engaged is to promise at the very end we'll do his lock of the day.
Oh boy.
And so he's now out in front with a 5-0, brought to you by Betano, by the way. Go to betano.ca, download the app. They are licensed in Ontario. I can't find my notes here of all the pages on this desk. Betano.ca, the game starts now. You can get 100% back when you sign up in a sign-up bonus, up to $500. Okay. So Bobby has dipped drastically to 3-2 on the season, while Yorkie is out to 5-0. I feel like we might be in the mushy middle of the show. All right. So there's no Sens game tonight, so I picked the Seattle Kraken and the Buffalo Sabres. I think that's a pretty even game. The over-under, by the way, is at 6.5. Buffalo, the favorite? Now, here's the thing. The Sabres are 8-2 in their last 10, while the Kraken have won 5 straight, including the last 4 on the road. So, Yorkie, we start with you. Like the golfer, you won the last one, so you're up on the tee.
A lot of pressure right now. I'm feeling like that old wrestler, Mr. Perfect. Just everything's going my way. the old Perfect Plex. I'm going to take Seattle, fellas. They've got one of the best road records in the league. You guys love their coach, Dave Hextall. They're a bunch of no-name guys, and they're not fancy. They don't beat themselves. So I'm going to go with Seattle in this one. I watched Buffalo a bunch of times. They're loosey-goosey. They turn the puck over a ton. So take Seattle.
So I feel like I get hamstrung here because he always gets to go first. And I'm like, do I go against him? Or because if we end up, if we end up taking the same team, I don't make up any ground. So I might be getting whacked by the end of this year. But I'm going to take Buffalo for no other reason than I have no other choice.
you could have just said because of my good friend Craig Anderson on the team or something. You should have just used a tie-in and pulled at your heartstrings. This is why.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to dinner with Andy on Friday down here in Nashville. So, that's why I'm taking him, because I'm going to see Andy and he's buying me dinner.
Where are you guys going, Bobby? You pick a spot yet?
Yeah, he picked it. Oak Steakhouse. It's kind of I wouldn't say it's new down here, but Oak's been around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's a sneaky good place?
Could have just lied and said Montana's.
I like a free steak, though, boys. I'll tell you what.
they got some sneaky good restaurants there.
What a great food scene.
So if I come down, are you taking me to Oak for my steak?
I'm not taking you. No, they're going to kick you right out of that place. You're going to get a 56-day dry age ribeye, and you're going to say medium rare. No, you know what? I'm going to take you to Brick Top. Because that's what you're ordering, a brick.
You got a
barbecue place on the strip.
You're getting the Ponderosa. You're getting Ponderosa for you, Wally. Your old roaster.
All right. So good. Okay. We are back Thursday. I want to say thank you, as always, to our good friend Ian Mendez for stopping by. To you two, I appreciate the time. Always a good chat. We will come back. We will do an Ottawa Senator midseason report card here once they hit the 41 game mark. So appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday. We will see you on Thursday. Thanks for watching. Coming in hot.
Thank you. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.